This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 266 of the Countdown Podcast, where you will now find two bitches back in the same studio doing a podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Yes, in case any members of the West Australian Police Force, our hats are off to you for the wonderful job that you are doing. Are listening? We are 1.5 metres and more away.
Easily.
Having stretched to the nth degree of the studio. But it is nice to be back in person. Did you know? Did you know the last few weeks we're done? 5 weeks, I think.
Yes.
We're done remotely. If you didn't, that's yay my Paul's editing.
Tight ass editing. That's it. Very nice.
Sound effect, which will always come out with tight ass, is mentioned. Did I say my name is Paul?
My name is Paul.
It is, and welcome to the episode, to the show, even where we count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness. That's the one.
It's been a day of recording, everyone. There's been a few drinks.
There has been a couple of drinks. I do apologize.
It's going
to
be fun.
So you don't have to make the tough decisions on what to watch next. We don't often say that part, but today we are. And today is an episode which is, well, it's all about mysterious shit.
Yes, we decided to count down the top 10. I'm sure we'll come up with this title later.
Movie mysteries.
Bam,
that's it. Simple.
But you understand. Not mystery movies.
No, movie, that's why
the
movie
mystery
comes first.
Within a mystery. Exactly. Yes. Within a movie. And it's
some of mine are mysteries in movies. Some of mine are.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like as part of the plot, which you don't know.
But it didn't have to be that way. Well, it didn't have to be top 10 murder mysteries. And this was thanks to Sally Vaughan, patron extraordinaire of
that's
the
right.
show, who said, do the top 10 murder mysteries. And so we extrapolated a little bit, made a little bit wider.
Little English on it.
That's exactly the phrase that we should be using. So we hope you're going to enjoy this one. And it's been a fun list to put together. I did a lot of research to kind of work out.
Lots of research. And also just opinions. You know, stuff I've always wanted to know.
Very personal. And we did get a little bit of heat during the week from Cameron Petty, who said, just fucking vote every week so there's more listener engagement. Okay, this week, votes on. Votes
cool,
on.
Cool.
4-3, I am up on the season, i.e. the year, if you will. And it's very, very close. I think closer than it's ever been, where our listeners are coming together to suggest that basically week in, week out is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Over a long enough period of time. If you toss a coin in the air, heads or tails, do it long enough, it will end up being exactly the same.
It's a little that weird. Yeah. But that's cool.
It's nice that it's become a two-horse race rather than me just steaming through for the win like in year one, where you were just like, yeah, whatever, I don't give a shit. Dick on the table. Ha ha ha, you don't like my dick? What?
That's right, it was exactly how it went. And frankly, I remember it well. Fondly.
All right, we kick off every episode with a segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who?
Who? Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who?
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 Who wants a recount?
Who?
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 Who wants a recount?
What on earth happened online, Paul?
Well, what happened online was Wayne, for the first time in the history of the show, went on someone else's show by his lonesome.
I did. I went like solo. Hey! Because usually I have to have Paul with me to, one, edit what I say live, which
that is
you can't
true.
Do when I'm on someone else's show,
mm-hmm.
and two, set up all the tech, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Paul is basically doing everything.
Not true.
So
I'm the tech, you're the talent.
a lot of people would disagree with that. So I went on Gerald's show and we counted down.
Which is called?
Two Peas on a Podcast.
That is indeed.
We counted down my top 5 Tom Cruise films.
And to say there was a curveball thrown in there would be the understatement of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't have heard this yet unless you're a patron of the Two Peas on a Podcast. But
It's coming.
What you can actually do is sign up to be a patron of the show and hear it. But if not, subscribe to Gerald's show. It will come up in due course, probably within the next month, I'm sure.
A couple of weeks.
So that was great to hear it. I have listened to the episode. A lot of fun, including how much I got it wrong, what I predicted you would have as your number one.
Yes.
Well done to you all, sir.
Things changed, man. Tom Cruise changed and the times changed. It's all new.
All right, then. But from that, we did have Michelle D, who said, thanks to Gerald at Two Peas on a Pod, bringing Wayne over to talk about Tom Cruise. I have discovered your podcast and just listened to this week's episode, which I loved.
Oh.
I look forward to checking out some past episodes, especially some of these top 10s.
Cool. So, a new listener.
Yeah. And then Michelle said, followed up a day or so later and said, 2 days later, having lots of fun listening to the top 10s, the both of you are quite nuts and make for an enjoyable podcast listen. And I'm so pleased to see that Paul and I have a very cool show in common, Buffy GIF. Yeah.
Oh, Buffy fan. Very nice.
Which is absolutely lovely.
No, Paul's on.
Now, this is a reference to one of the review shows, which we did last week, Extraction.
Mm.
Dan is not the problem, on Twitter said, Extraction is greater than John Wick 2.
Easy.
Not
easy.
89 good, but much better than 56.
I'll take it.
My response was, Dan, you are the problem. Stop lying to us with your name on Twitter.
Oh, man, that's so the case. Extraction? Because he's using different moves every time. It's not John Wick, I'm saying.
And then let's have a review. We haven't had a review for a while to round out this week's recount. Short one for you. This comes from They Make My Day. Sometimes I double up on this podcast in my playlist. Careful, Wayne. The soundboard makes me laugh.
Vindication!
Cherry picking these reviews, are we?
I wish I could only cherry pick the ones that had soundboard mentions, pro soundboard. During the episode about hottest love scenes, I was surprised that they didn't have a female guest, but even more surprised that every one of my picks was mentioned. It may be the fact that we grew up in the same era, but I really get them. Thanks for separating reviews from the list so I don't get so many spoilers.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was like a call that we made when 2 years ago.
A year and a half ago.
Give or take.
Nice 15, work. 16 months ago. Thank you. That was from Listen to Year One in the US. Really appreciate that.
I feel like Listen to Year One is a female from that review.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're not,
which I love.
Or you are, we would love to hear either way.
Please.
Hit us up on one of the social media avenues and we want it all. Acknowledge thereof. So that's the recap for this week. Thanks so much for your feedback. Let's get into the topic proper on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 movie mysteries. Ba-ba. Made it so more mysterious.
I don't know why I did that.
I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind. You never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them break up your
mind. The top 10 movie mysteries.
It's very nice.
Is the topic of this week. And not at all my second take. Wayne, how did you go about this list?
Oh man, I think everyone's going to have issues with mine, and you're going to have issues with mine, and I'm having issues with mine because I became... When you start looking for, start remembering,
hot damn,
damn it, what you're doing here is you're just like, there's questions I've always had about movies. They may not be a mystery for the ages, but I'm using this list as a time to air the best things that ever perplexed me or just fucked around with my shit. All right? So that's my list here. I don't even know
ballsy
about the order.
Stupid, but ballsy.
I think, is that not how you went, Vag?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good.
Not sure I should have agreed to respond to that when you called me Fadge, but anyway.
Fadge.
Largely. I the temptation is to go the best murder mysteries, right? And I've got a couple of those in here, the ones that really fooled me as to what was going on. But generally, I went with some ones that left me hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I have an answer to one or two of mine. I don't have an answer to a lot of them.
And maybe, because in the research that we both have purported that we did. Purported.
Mm.
In your case, Wayne. Maybe we'll have some answers for the listeners as well, which is what makes this topic particularly fun, I think.
Yes.
All right, Wayne, take us away then. Your number 10, movie mystery.
Damn okay.
It. Oh, sorry, let me do that again. Movie mystery.
I can't even count how much that added to it. Well done, well done, well done. Okay, everyone, this is Wackadoodle-Doo. No, it's not. It's just a little weird, okay? Check it out. Fight Club. All right, let's talk about Fight Club. Now, it's not a lot. Like, there's a lot of mysteries that happen in Fight Club, but this is a subtle under kind of one that not many people noticed, and I kind of wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
In the Fight Club universe, all right, so you know Tyler Durden doesn't actually exist, okay? We obviously see him. He's Brad Pitt, but he's actually just a figment of Ed Norton's imagination,
yep.
Right? And I just realized that Ed Norton's character is unnamed.
Unnamed, yeah.
Very weird. Okay, so here's the thing. There's a scene where Ed Norton chases Helena Bonham Carter out onto the street. Just not chases, just they're talking and he comes up around her. And in the behind him, it's a movie cinema, a movie screen that they've obviously walked out of. And on there says 7 years in Tibet.
A Brad Pitt movie?
A Brad Pitt movie. So that means in this world, Brad Pitt and Brad Pitt movies exist in the world, right? And that means...
does that mean that he internalized...
I think he's used Brad Pitt as an avatar for Tyler Durden. But that, like...
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool? It's like a whole new layer on the show, right? So then it's like, whoa, does that mean he's a Brad Pitt fan? And that the Brad Pitt we're seeing is actually the Brad Pitt in his head who's an actor, not Tyler Durden? Oh, damn. Blown mind.
I have to say, what I've just realized about the soundboard is there's very few sound bites which reflect positively on what you have to say.
Yeah, because you don't collect those. Because I wanted to
go, well done, sir, well done. And I'm like, I've got no options.
Exactly, I can give you a few.
So that's a good choice. I like the one that kicks off very, very nicely.
Well done. Okay, so there you go. Okay, cool. So go. Your number 10, son.
My number 10 is maybe the most one of the most traditional ones. Traditional as in longest running ones on my list. Okay,
there's
so
many of them.
And it's not even a film I love. I like the film just fine, but I came to it too late. I'm not a big fan of the sequel because it's so long. It's longer than Dennis Rodman's cock.
If you can imagine such a thing.
It's Blade Runner. Is Deckard a replicant?
Okay, obviously this is on my list. And it is. It's way high. It's way high. Okay.
Now, and I'll tell you why it got low after you tell me why it's high on your list.
Okay. The reason it's high on my list is, yes, everyone talks about this shit, right? Like, it's a mystery for the ages. Now, you would think that Blade Runner 2049 would answer the question, but it didn't.
But it kind of doesn't, right?
It doesn't at all. It
steps around it very nimbly.
Well, here's the problem with that. Nimbly. Yeah, well, kind of, because what it does was, like, in 2049, Blade Runner, like, you know Ryan Gosling, Rygoz, is a...
Not Ryan, because Ryan is Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly, he can't be a replicant. But Rygoz is in that movie, right? Mm-hmm. He's a replicant that's being
Blade
Runner.
Revealed, what, 30, no, not even that, 20 minutes in, give or take?
That's right. So now you talk and you see Deckard, who's now old, and replicants aren't supposed to live past 4 years. But the idea is he may be some aberration where he can bypass the mortality thing.
Plot's like he has a kid, right?
Yeah, he had a kid with Sean Young, who was also a replicant, right? So not only can replicants not supposed to multiply, but they can, and he did. So that would lend theory to like...
He's not.
That he's not. However...
But then how did she... Is it really Sean... Young's?
Yeah.
Whatever her name is in the film, I can't remember.
Rachel, Rebecca, something. Hey, yep. Rachel, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's what happened. But here's... that itself is weird. And it depends on what cut of Blade Runner you get. Where you actually... So there's one with the weird... Right.
If I can wait in here, here's why it's 10 for me.
Why?
Because Ridley Scott has gone on record numerous times, now three in fact, is saying Deckard is definitely a replicant.
Yes. And I've actually seen the video of where he does it. He goes, he's a replicant. He actually kind of whispers
Which is
it.
Why I dropped it down, because if we didn't have that confirmation, so to speak, perspective from the director, I would be like, oh, well, it's up in the air. And this was originally my number 4, and I dropped it all the way down to 10 when I read that. Because I'm like, well, if the director's saying this, it doesn't matter what Harrison Ford thinks. He's just an actor.
Okay, I got something else. All
right, please.
Hampton Fancher?
The writer?
Who was a writer for Blade Runner and 2049,
yep.
Agrees with Ford.
Oh, well, that does.
That's weird now, right?
Now it should be higher on my list. Damn it!
Yeah, I know, but it's a weird thing. It's okay, but it's like this is what makes it so good, and the fact that there is a version which shows you he's not a replicant and that she's.
Well, it's all about the origami unicorn, right?
Yeah, I mean, God, you know what?
How does what's his name? I can't remember now.
The Japanese dude,
Gaff.
What's his name?
James L. Jones. No, James L. Jones. Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
Because they are completely interchangeable.
Absolutely. The only guy, Edward James Almost, is the guy from what's his name? Desperado. What's his name? The Mexican dude who looks like a...
I know. He's only talking about... I can't tell you his name.
Anyway, go ahead.
Because he can leave... How does he know what Harrison Ford's dreaming about? That's weird as fuck. He's a replicant.
Right.
It's neurally implanted.
But is it a coincidence that he made a fucking unicorn?
No, come on.
Because in one cut of the movie, there's no fucking unicorn.
Well, in that case...
All these answers. Yeah. It's a real shitter. And that's why this is huge.
Yeah, fair enough. It's on both our lists.
Both our lists.
Your number 9, sir.
My number 9 is a... Well, okay. Some people have brought this up. I don't know. The Matrix.
Go on. I'm very sensitive about The Matrix.
I understand. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I think I thought about this, or someone talked to me about it 4 or 5 years after The Matrix came out. Cypher is played by Joey Pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
Did we talk about this recently?
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we really? Is it?
No, go ahead.
Are we talking about how he how does he makes a deal with like those other guys, and he's all like, yo, you should make me an actor. And we're like...
You were like, would you take that deal?
No.
There's a different perspective of the same thing.
No, it's not. Because the actual question or the mystery to me is, how did Cypher go into the Matrix without any of the crew knowing what him going in. He's in a ship, the Ebuchadnezzar, not the another one, right?
I don't think it's the Ebuchadnezzar.
Maybe it is the Ebuchadnezzar.
I think it is. Right. Yeah, because he dies before we see any other ships.
And we've seen that room where they all plug in. Right? It's not.
Yeah, you have to be in the chair.
Right, and there has to be an operator.
Exactly. How does he get into the Matrix if no one's operating?
That's right.
Is there an implication that he runs that runs it automatically? I think there's a throwaway line about it, right?
There is. This is the closest I've got. So the Wachowski brothers actually say Cypher at the beginning of this scene.
Wachowski siblings.
Siblings, I'm sorry. Is setting up an automated system to allow him to go meet with Agent Smith. As to how he got the jack in his head, we're left to assume he simply reached behind it and jammed it in his head, which is actually quite difficult to do if you look at the angle.
Still, come on. Surely.
I know, but I had thought to myself that he left a secured phone ringing from the moment he entered, and maybe that's how he got out and in, but someone would answer that. But the point is, we don't know how that happened. So that's a little mystery for you.
All right.
Cypher.
All right. No, very nice. I think my number 9 is one that's going to strike maybe to your core, but I don't know if you have it on your list because these days we're all very strange and weird. My number 9 is from The Dark Knight and the Joker Origins.
Yes.
Yeah. So he tells how many people in The Dark Knight four different stories about his, maybe I'm exaggerating that by one, about his origins, how he got his scars. And that is just a wonderful device. Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned.
Because you don't know. And now no one
And there's
knows.
A moment towards the end of the film where it looks like maybe he's reaching out to Batman and he's going to tell him and then gets interrupted. And we never know.
Yep.
And tragically, obviously we lost Heath Ledger and so he wasn't recast. His character wasn't in The Dark Knight.
There's no way Nolan would recast that. No way.
No. And nor should he have. So I think they made the correct decision. And that makes it more mysterious. It makes it better to not know, to have this... Whoa, which of those, and are they a combination thereof, of those stories?
That's the thing, even one layer above. What if one of those stories is true or a combination of them?
What if some of them are true?
Right? Yeah. So now you might know, but you don't know you know. Boom, all right? And the other thing is, that's very Joker. Even in the comics, there's one comic, if you want to look it up, everyone, a graphic novel called The Killing Joke, which does tell of the Joker's kind of canon origin. You still don't know his name, but you know he was a comedian, and it wasn't going well, and some really bad shit happened to him, and he got nuts and... Yeah, long story.
So see 2019's Joker, apparently, according to Todd Phillips. But anyway.
No, there's no Red Hood. But anyway, long story. But you should check out The Killing Joke. It is one of the best fucking... Alan Grant wrote it. Very, very cool.
One of Wayne's faves.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number 9.
Nice. I was looking at a movie called Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Don't worry. It's not what you think it is.
Whoa.
This is an odd one.
Okay, go on.
The question or the mystery I have is who keyed Vincent's car?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, now I didn't know this before, and this is why I'm bringing it up here. I actually do have this answer.
I do have it too, which is why I didn't make my list.
Okay, good.
And
I
also
understand.
Because I have a bigger mystery from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I'm sure that'll come up. All right. But here's the thing. So when Vincent is talking to Eric Stoltz after having gotten his big hit of heroin thing with a big wad in his hand, he's like, some motherfucker
keyed
it.
My car.
Yeah, right?
And I was... it if I had found him.
Exactly.
Keying my car.
Right. I didn't think to myself anything about, I wonder who keyed his car. Because that was supposed to be to show that Vincent's a badass gangster fucking, I want to find the guy who keyed my car and kill him. Right? And then I found
out. Fuck him up pretty bad.
Right? Then I find out that it's...
Butch.
Butch! Yeah. Bruce Willis, who he mouths off to in the thing, you know, I ain't your friend. You heard me, Pokey.
And
right?
That was only recently that
only
Tarantino,
recently. Yeah. And the only reason we know that shit is because motherfucking Tarantino confirmed it during a radio interview. So I guess I just liked that idea here. And I further like the fact that the Tarantinoverse is actually linked. Like, that's just great.
Oh, it's...
Isn't it considered that it's linked?
Yeah.
To the stage where... You know,
well, he has the same set of fucking cigarette packets.
Right, but it's all that, and it even refers to himself like Uma Thurman.
The Vega Brothers.
Vega Brothers?
Don't know further than Vega Brothers.
Easy. Yeah. And Uma Thurman talking about the Fox Force 5, and then they're represented in Kill Bill.
Yep.
Very cool.
All right, my number 8, good choice. My number 8 is from Zodiac, and this is a bit more traditional kind of murder mystery. And what I like about this is it's based on the real-life Zodiac killings that haunted the Bay Area in the 60s and 70s, and it is full... of dead ends and dangling threads. It's disorienting. Yeah. It's ultimately frustrating. And it's too long. This movie is way too fucking long. I don't care how much you love Zodiac.
And David Fincher?
But I think it was deliberate. I think David Fincher wanted this film to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. So you would share some of the experience that the people working on this...
That's all this movie has because, as you were about to point out...
No one ever
doesn't
was found.
Give you the answer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a hugely good... In a way, but also frustrating mystery.
You pay the price for having watched this movie.
Well, you go on the same journey as Jake Gyllenhaal's character, who thinks he works out who it is. And then the very final title card flashes up. DNA evidence didn't corroborate that. It's like, damn!
So that scene in the guy's cellar or whatever that you know that everyone knows about with that thing, that's when you're just understanding that that's the guy.
Yep.
And you're just waiting for him to kill.
Well, you're meant to be. And he gets away with it and he didn't do it.
Yeah. And so that means he didn't happened. Do it. So what? Yeah, I know.
Well, and then the final title card proves he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. It's whack that something that massive could go unsolved. It's really shitty.
It's just a holy shit ballsy move that Fincher and this film
just didn't give it
to you. Because I could have given you this bullshit kind of...
Everyone thinks it's this guy.
Yeah, and know? Probably was him, but he got away with it. No, they didn't even do that. They didn't give you that satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So that's why Zodiac makes my list.
See, nice one. That's nice. That's a good one. My number what?
Seven? Seven.
Is to do with a movie I think we both like, and this may turn up on your list, but the question is, or the mystery is, what was Daniel Craig's name in Layer Cake?
Oh, that's good. Right? Like it.
So
not on my list, but I like
it. Not on your list? Okay. The character played by Daniel Craig has no name in the movie, and you don't the whole coolness of the movie is, you don't know until the end when he turns around and says something like, if you knew that, but referring to his name, what my name is, if you knew that, you'd be smarter as I am.
Yep.
And then something bad happens. So,
let's not spoil a film 16 years old.
No, I'm just saying. But if you, first of all, cleverness to actually, when you don't have, in the actual script, they had to give him an XXXX name because they just had to refer to him as a
literally
script
the title card, sorry, the credits have XXXX.
XXX, right? And so the last line of the book is apparently the same as the last line of the movie. I haven't read the book. Yep.
Holy shit.
The studio wanted to cut that line. But
so it was written from the first person in the book then.
Yes, it was.
But that makes it way more obvious.
Or maybe, I'm not sure, because you could still quote a guy saying that. Oh, no, because he's talking to the camera. He's breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe not.
I don't know. Without, as a writer myself, yeah. I'm not sure you can get away with a book that goes, I, that's why you don't know my... It wouldn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can't do that at the very end. Mm. But what Matthew Vaughn says the studio wanted to cut it, but I told him it was really important. And he said the fact that he doesn't have a name is what makes him so different. He's Clint Eastwood riding in on a horse. He doesn't give anything
and
away.
Clint Eastwood is referencing the Fistful of Dollars trilogy where he, the man with no name.
Yes.
Very famously.
That's what he said. He said he's a chameleon. So this guy becomes whoever. That's why he has no name. So that was it. But I always did think it quite cool. I think we both dug that.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But I think that was kind of intended in a way. But yeah, still, absolutely. I totally understand what you're saying. My number seven is another David Fincher film. And I think this will be on your list. It's Gone Girl.
It's not.
What?
Yeah. What's the mystery? Tell me the mystery.
Well, I think the mystery is what happened to her. I think I've never been so invested in a film. What happened to Amy for the first half of the film? And then, of course, the film gives you the answer. This is where this one.
Oh, yeah.
Not all mine are... unanswerable.
No, it's good because it is a mystery and you definitely...
But the film rests on that, and did I legitimately question whether or not Ben Affleck's Nick was guilty? Fuck
absolutely.
Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because he is so... He's not
shady.
Responding the way that he should be responding for a grieving husband who's like, where's my wife?
Plus he's banging blurred lines.
Yes, he's banging... He's
so
banging
so you're not supposed to...
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever name is. So you're not supposed to think he's a good guy. You know what I mean? No. Like, it's like that.
So it's a very cleverly put together. And then you're, is he guilty? Is he not guilty? Did he kill her or did he not? Did someone else kill her?
Mm-hmm.
You're never assuming she's alive.
Yeah. That's
well,
right.
Well, I wasn't.
I wasn't either. And in fact, the whole coolness about that movie... First of all, Gone Girl.
Well, other than this, other than the fact that it flips between the narrators, right? That does add an element of what the fuck is going on here.
Yes. Which I would think you'd hate. The flipping... Because you...
No, it's okay in a film which does it consistently. It's not okay in Forrest Gump, which does it as a crutch for a shit-ass script.
I love referencing that with you. Okay, cool. No, good call. I love Gone Girl.
What the hell? No! No! No!
That was my reaction watching Forrest Gump. It was not my reaction.
Didn't bother me or most people on the planet at all. So, all right.
Pretty much I give it away. Like, obviously.
I thought what you were going to say about Gone Girl is what happens to Ben Affleck at the end? And we all know what happens to Ben Affleck at the end.
Oh, he got shafted.
The same as all men. He stays married to her until he dies. Miserable and fucked in the head.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh, what? You want a fairy tale where the guy cut free and went to Cabo for the rest of his life? No, that didn't happen. Oh, shit. Okay.
My silence speaks volumes. Moving on, sir. You're number six.
Nice. Now, this at number six, we come to the obligatory moment in the podcast where I talk about shit. Everyone, there was a movie called Demolition Man.
Oh, I'm so glad. On my honorable mentions.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Now, the movie had Sly Stallone and Wesley Snipes in it playing each other's opposite number as people who were already in the future go further into the future by getting cryo-frozen, and then shit goes down.
Was the future 2020, or am I mistaking that?
I reckon it was like 2006.
It was pretty close.
Anyway, a recurring joke in the movie is where in the future, where Sly does not know how, because in the future they don't swear and all sorts of shit, like all kinds of weird shit happens, and he goes in.
Where Wayne has had a stroke out of trying to
hold
himself together.
I'm just a homeless person because I've sworn so much that I've been fined so much I have no money. That's how it is. Now, in this film, when you go to the toilet, there's no toilet paper. Instead, there is a three seashells system where literally next to the toilet, there are always three seashells and you don't know what to do with it,
wrong.
Right? I know. And he says back in 93, he was making jokes about being too old for that shit. And he was like,
so, you know, Sly can somewhere confirmed. Good.
Everyone, here's how you use. This is weird, okay? Because there's no way
this makes no sense.
There's no way this is more fucking efficient than paper, all right?
You can tell this up this really.
Paul's actually cringing right now. I wish you could all see it. All right. Stallone himself answered in a Q&A in 2006. Hey,
I didn't have a problem with my kid's shit when she was a baby.
Well, I think you're as a human, you are immune to that. It's like when you're
But generally, shit talk and anal talk, I have a problem.
I know.
I'm admitting it here.
I know.
Live on air.
Paul's got an anti-scat fetish.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. Non-fetish. What do you call it? Apprehension. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, Sly says that the two shells are held like chopsticks and used to grip and scrape the shit from your ass, and the remainder is scooped up with the third shell.
Oh, no, I thought it was scooped into the third shell. As in, like, you go...
Oh, really?
Drop into that one and then go back for more.
Oh, well, what I've got here is that you use two
Either
shells...
Either way, it's wrong.
It's wrong, because why would you pick up... why would you scrape your asshole?
How is that better future? How is that fucking
it's
better?
It's not. And by the way, I'm thinking about getting one of those Japanese toilets that squirt water around your asshole.
That's better.
It's fucking... That's great, because
that would have been a funny joke in Demolition Man.
Exactly, but
what's this button do? Oh, that goes... That fires water into my girl parts.
If you introduced in Demolition Man that there was a squirt, everyone would know how it works.
Anyone who's used a Japanese toilet knows that joke now and gets...
You know, I've been told... the friend of ours, Inkster, who is... has married to a Japanese girl and has been in Japan a lot and constantly says that we are animals for using paper on our assholes.
I'm sure he will view this as
vindication.
Well, I say, you know, just the idea of warm water flushing up in your ass, it's something you got to get used to, but I will get used to it.
I'm used to it now.
Are you?
Yep.
Do you have it a lot?
Well, not anymore because I'm not in Japan. But when I was in Japan, every time.
Are you kidding me? By the second one, I'd be sitting there going, "I'm gonna drop a deuce just to have water in my ass or around my ass."
I must admit, I got used to it.
Of course, you did.
I've been to Japan 7 or 8 times. The first 4 times, like, nope.
Let me ask you something.
My ass is virginal. Not even water's been spouted up there.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, are you?
It has not transformed into anything else.
No, let me
be clear.
The question is, after the water is shot around your hole and cleans it all up,
you still got a pat.
You still got to pat.
No, not what? Pat.
Some units have a fucking air dryer, like a hair dryer.
Doesn't matter. It takes forever.
Does it?
Takes forever. You press that button.
So you go the swipe first.
You may as well be like having a cup of tea on the toilet.
Oh, really?
It takes that long.
Okay, so I'm thinking.
Or at least with my dank pubic hair.
This has gone dark. It's gone dark as Paul's pubic hair.
That's my pubic hair.
You know what? That's good.
Time for the next level. Forced laughter.
Fuck off, you son of shit. See, now it's not working, you're a cunt. All right? Fuck you and your dark pubic hair. But by the way, when you're using paper to dry instead of clean, it's a much different experience, I imagine. So I'm on board and I want to have one.
Yeah, but don't think for a second it doesn't have like smatterings of shit on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just like it blows it off
100%. I thought the whole idea of this was that it's a flush. No. Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, well, it gets most of it off, but not all of it.
I hope no one's eating. Okay.
very good. Shit. My number 6 then.
Please.
Is, of course, one of the 3 films you're probably thinking definitely going to be on my list. Yep. Here it is. Couldn't avoid it. The Usual Suspects.
Oh, it's not on mine.
Oh, well, that's fair.
But I love that. Go on.
Who is Kaiser Soze and what happened on that pier?
Right.
Right. And you get your answers by the end of the film, which again is why it's a trifle lower.
That's fine. That's fine. It's such a great mystery.
But the whole film is cut and presented in a way which is this unreliable narrator telling you X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, this investigation is going on that's starting to disprove it, and it all comes together. It is great.
The movie great lies revelation. To you,
yeah,
but you don't know.
Well, and it even presents multiple endings.
Exactly.
Oh, this guy is Kaiser. Oh, this guy is Kaiser. So, yeah. No, actually, this
and
guy.
And then when you find it, it's like, holy shit.
Yes.
Many a coffee cup has been dropped in slow motion.
Maybe. Cannot confirm or deny there's been a film made by a bunch of fans of this film called Reap, where they did, they did use the same device.
We're going to stop talking about that movie we made.
No, we'll get back to it in okay. The feedback. That's my number six, Usual nice Suspects.
One. My number five, I wonder if it'll be on your list, or is the subject matter so just abrasive to you that you couldn't possibly put it on a
does
list?
Does it involve ass play?
It does not, but okay. It does involve spiders, Paul. The movie I'm talking about is Enemy. Now,
I get where you're coming from. Okay. Go on, please.
Basically, everyone says, what the hell is going on at the end of Enemy? And it's not satisfactorily answered, I don't know, although I have my opinions. Basically, the film was all about Jake Gyllenhaal, who's a history professor who surprised to watch a movie when he sees an actor who looks exactly like him. Basically, it's these two men, both played by Gyllenhaal. They delve into each other's lives, and it becomes this heightened psychological thriller from Denis Villeneuve. And at the end, spiders represent commitment and women and stuff. It's a long story, and to go into it here, it would go too long. But basically,
everything suddenly makes sense.
Well, at the end of the movie, when it seems like he's about to cheat or something, he walks into the room. I'm going to give it away. It's been a while. Oh, shouldn't I?
7 years old.
Yeah, 7 years old. He walks into the room, and instead of his wife, who he's waiting, who he expects to be in there because she just walked in there, there is a room-sized tarantula. It's weird. It's just, oh my God. And it's presented realistically, right? And when the tarantula sees him, it freaks out and scurries into a corner like it's scared. It cuts to him. He's like, he's not bothered at all.
I have one reaction to that scene.
What the hell? Are you?
Absolutely. No! Paul would have freaked out at that. And to be honest with you,
pretty much threw my headphones across the room. And walked out of there in disgust.
Dude, if you're not ready for this, when you see it, it will fuck you up for life. I think it's like, oh my God, it's so weird, right? And if you look back on the reasons why this thing happens, it's very,
well,
very...
Well, there's a spider motif through the whole film.
The spider, yeah, absolutely.
There's webs and there's spiders crawling across the cityscape and there's, oh, fuck, I hate this movie.
And absolutely, and that's the thing.
I did not enjoy my time at all as an arachnophobe.
It's tons, man. And each character has two women, but, you know, like each a woman of their own. And each time you're seeing him rallying against commitment. That's really what the movie is about, but it's told in a very freaky way. And after you
so
see
is
this
the
movie,
enemy, this is horrible to say.
No, the enemy is on one level women.
Oh my God!
For him, terrible. For him.
How are we okay with this?
It's fine. So he's it's not the enemy is women. The enemy is what women represent, which is the commitment, right?
Because women are more generally going for commitment than men are.
Absolutely.
I'm even more uncomfortable with this film now.
At least the women in his life, on each character's life, and there is only one guy. It's just that he splits his life.
What? No.
I know, it's crazy. But what's good about the movie is that the visceral imagery of a spider being so stark shows you how scared that character is of commitment. And that's why he keeps going around and just strip clubs.
Good.
Yeah. It's about that character. It's not a comment on all men, Paul. It's so a comment on all men. So it's...
Well, one of these men didn't get married yesterday when it was going to happen thanks to coronavirus. So.
That's right. So, but, you know, you're never going to see a spider like that, Paul. It's fine. It's fine.
Better fucking not.
You won't.
Because I tell you what, if Patsy turns into a spider like that, I'm coming for everyone.
Well, it's metaphorical.
I'm coming for Denis Villeneuve.
So that's it. Anyway, you should see Enemy. It's a freaky-ass movie that, yes, I guess kind of spoiled for you, but you're still going to like it if you... In fact, you like
don't
it
bother.
More now that
don't
you
bother if you haven't seen it. It's not
Enemy's
worth it.
Great. Enemy's great.
It's a good choice, though, for this list. My number five is Identity.
Identity, very nice.
The best, one of the very best murder mysteries I've ever seen. Identity from 2003, directed by James Mangold.
Yeah.
The best directed across genres in Hollywood working today.
Cool.
Now, the guy's done Logan.
Logan.
Ford v Ferrari.
Very good movie.
Right, Copland.
Yeah.
This man is an absolute fucking chameleon.
Fucking kills it, yeah.
This movie is about... A bunch of strangers wind up isolated and trapped in this roadside motel in a really big storm. And meanwhile, there's this dude who clearly is insane in an insane asylum. And there's this sort of, how do these two stories meld together? You get your answer. But geez, for 85 of these 93 minutes, you're like, what the fuck is going on? What a wonderful mystery.
The problem I had with this movie, and I understand that we have, you know, don't see eye to eye here, is that the ending you get, and I'm not going to spoil it, to me, the ending you get invalidates the whole movie.
Nope, you're wrong.
That's what I say. That's what I say. So I understand why you think that, of course. But for me, it didn't play.
It worked for me.
Yeah, I know. And probably for most people.
Wonderfully for me.
Probably for most people. Everyone, check out Identity if you haven't, and maybe get back to Two Crackers here and say which way you fell. So there you go.
All right, cool. All right. Straight on then.
My number four, we're actually straight back to you because mine is the Blade Runner on
this
my number four.
Is the Blade Runner. Yeah,
because
where it falls.
Yeah, he's decorative replicant. Because I've seen it so many times and I've thought about it so many times. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, my number four is probably one of the other ones you would have assumed would be on my list. It is 1982's The Thing.
Oh, dude, that's on my list too.
Please. Oh, it is?
Let's talk about it.
Holy shit.
Because
this is one of the greatest moments in the history of all the podcasts.
Probably, yeah. In fact, it's higher on my list. There you are. So
I am genuinely fucking shocked.
Because, dude, all right? When I saw this film, I saw it as my big sister had a boyfriend. He was older than me. I thought he was cool at the time. He said, this movie is shit. I went, is the shit. I went and saw it, and I saw it with them. And I'm like, wow, right?
Were you into the movies to see this?
No. I was just like, they put it on.
Oh.
But they were in the room. So I was like, holy crap. And then at the end, I think we can spoil this one, where the whole deal is that fucking we don't know who the thing is.
The end of the film is this.
Please, tell us, please.
It's MacReady and Child are sitting there. They've survived the assault of the thing. The camp is burning down around them.
And it's been understood that the thing could take any form.
Yeah, it can take any form. And it could be one of them. Now, MacReady actively kills the big version of the thing.
Right.
Child, we don't know. He just disappears and then it reappears. Right. So suspicion naturally falls on Child's.
Exactly.
Is he the thing? The thing is an organism or an alien organism that can mimic perfectly an organism that it takes over. So it kills the host and then takes over and then runs around like it's that, to the point where it can mimic personality style and everything else. You would
absolutely
not know.
Copies of DNA.
It's not it.
Yep.
Not them. Okay. So again, I would assume the vast majority of listeners to this show know that is 100% the case. So it's never been confirmed, except in subsequent game and subsequent comic. MacReady.
That doesn't count. Because those decisions were all made after that movie ended.
Yeah. And it's not John Carpenter and it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah. So to give the franchise life, they make some weird decisions.
Now, that to me was so fucking weird and cold. So I saw the end of the movie and it's like MacReady and Childs sitting down, sharing what, a bottle or something.
Yep.
All right. And it's like,
I think a surprise for each other. Not much more we can do about it.
That's right. So let's just sit here for a while because the whole place is burned down. They're going to die there.
They are going to die there. There's no question.
But which one of you is the thing? Doesn't matter because at least it doesn't get out.
Or none of them are the thing. They're going to die. But the problem is they have established the thing can just bury into the ice and be picked up tens or hundreds of years later and can still survive. So it's okay to just be frozen. Whereas humans will obviously die. So,
well, there's a fan theory that says that MacReady gave Childs gasoline.
Why would Childs drink gasoline?
That's right. That's it. Not alcohol. And then after that, fucking Kurt Russell denied it outright.
That's bullshit. Dean Cundey, the guy, I think it was Dean Cundey who shot this film. The cinematographer said he lit everyone who was human with a ring in their eye, or the other way around. I can't remember now. And the thing as without. And if you look carefully, Childs has that
ring.
Yeah.
I would like to think that neither of them are the thing.
Yeah, I think they both survived. But where was Charles?
How did they get off? They'd be able to get off, right?
The reason this film gets to number four on my list is because there's many other mysteries. Who killed Fuchs?
Which one is Fuchs?
Fuchs is like the second most senior science officer who's in tight with MacReady. And his guy says, I think we should all prepare our own meals and only eat out of cans, right? So it's a little bit like corona fucking virus, man. Just be careful. Just don't take for granted anymore.
Absolutely.
Fucking 38 years before this thing comes to pass. Mm-hmm. And then they find his burn remains outside. Did he burn himself?
Yeah.
Or did the thing burn it, you know, before it got to him? Or that's the mystery. But even more so is Blair. Blair is the senior science officer, the guy who does the...
The guy in the chair?
No. His guy ends up being... They lock him out. He destroys the radio, destroys the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to be one of us! And they lock him outside in the... whatever cabin it is, and he has a noose hanging there. I want to come back inside now. I'm okay. It's all okay. Let me back inside.
What happened? I can't remember now.
The question is, when was he infected? Because eventually they find he's building a spaceship to escape under the ice.
Oh,
that,
really?
In that cabin.
I forgot this now. Yep. Shit.
Was he infected before when he went crazy? Was he, or did he really go crazy and he was human? Well, the producer of the film, one of the producers of the film, Stuart Cohen, says he was always intended that he was the first person infected on the first night. So when he went crazy, it wants to be one of us.
Yeah.
He is infected.
So
he wanted to be isolated so he could create.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
That's actually cooler. So the thing is really intelligent.
So on the one hand, yeah, well, of course it is. It's this alien organism. It can mimic
anything.
If it's
trying to build a spaceship to fuck off,
yeah.
Isn't that okay? It's like, fuck off then, good.
No, no. It would have just flown to whatever other parts of the world and killed us all.
I thought it was going back home. All right,
no,
cool.
No, absolutely not. So that's why I got to four, because of multiple mysteries,
including
the big one, which has never been solved.
Nice one. My number three is something, it's a little from our past. You see, back in the day when we were kids, there was a book that was the only book that was R-rated. You had to get it from behind the counter. The book was American Psycho.
Yeah, this should have been on my list. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Pick.
So Paul says to me, you know, Paul tells me the book. I'm like, dog, I got to read it. He goes, okay. He lets me read it, right?
I have this moment of superiority right now because I know I'm right.
You know you're right?
Yeah.
You are right.
I'm 100% right.
Okay.
And
so,
I guessed this, not guessed it, I read it the right way before everyone's come out to say.
I agree. So in the movie, as with the book, it's about Patrick Bateman and Christian Bale, and he is an American psycho. He goes around killing people. It's horrible, but it is actually a very stylish book and movie. It's weird. It's about its psyche. Very, very freaky. I'm sure all of you have seen the business card scene, which is basically one of my favorite scenes in a movie. It's just so funny and so fucking, what a bunch of dickheads. I love it. Right? But in the film, and this is the thing. So basically, Paul said to me back in the day, because I said to him,
I said he was a psychotic.
Well, we knew he was psychotic. What you said to me was that the book is in his mind.
Yeah,
or the murders are in his mind.
Yeah, it never happened. He never killed anybody.
And it was really, let me tell you something. I was impressed because when you told me that, I went, wait a minute, why? And then you said, because he makes mention of doing these horrible things to women. Then he meets those women again and they don't even
hand.
They
shake like, his hey, hand. How you like, doing?
Exactly. And it's like, wait, is the author that clever, or not clever, but
yes,
willing to risk that you don't know the thing?
Apparently, Bret Easton Ellis is a complete king dick of a cunt.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently. Apparently, reportedly, not saying this for the record, don't sue us.
If you're a bad boy author of your time and it was that, it's like he obviously loves the 80s and shit like that, he would probably be. Yeah.
But point being, that he has even confirmed the worst thing that Patrick Bateman would ever do to you
is think bad thoughts.
Bad things.
I remember this was before the internet. I thought, maybe it was just around the internet. Paul sent me like an email or something archaic like that and said, look at this shit. And I was like, oh, and then that was it. So that was cool, man. So yeah, that's the mystery is, what the fuck happened? In the movie, the closest you get to kind of that is that he spills on the phone to his lawyer, I killed this person, I killed that, I killed a lot of people.
But he also shoots down multiple cops. I'm sorry. The
exactly.
Moment you kill cops,
that's it.
You don't get to go back into your normal life.
That end bit is all right in his head where he just shoots everyone, right? And kills all these people. And then, of course, he gets away with it. But to him, it's like, I'm untouchable. I'm this. I'm that. The actual last moment of the movie, there's him sipping and the sign behind him says, this is not an exit. The idea is he can't get out of his own psyche. That's why all this shit is happening and he thinks it's real. So that's cool.
Yes.
I thought it was cool.
That's right. I didn't make my list though because I think the answer's there.
Sure. But for me, I didn't know until after I saw the movie.
Fair enough. I think it's still a good pick.
No, see, you made the call, man. I'm telling you, you made the call.
Not me shitting on you, not trying to do
it. No, I'm telling you, you made the call. I'm saying props.
It's a very rare time that I think I've got something right.
You did. No, you did.
My number three, though, is a film which I recently rewatched. I wasn't that enamored with the first time around. I like the film. I just don't think it is all that and
a bag of potato chips.
You know, that one. Or the bee's knees or whatever the fuck we call it. It's The Shining from Stanley Kubrick in 1980.
Excellent.
What's the deal with Jack?
Is the deal with Jack?
So he dies in the film.
Frozen to death,
chasing his children through
the
maze, and he freezes to death. And then the very final shot of the film is this dolly zoom into a photograph of Jack from 1921, foreground, first major person of a party in 1921, which just raises all these fascinating questions.
It's huge.
Was he reincarnated? Was his spirit woven into the Overlook,
yes,
and they change the photos? But then there's the dude, the butler dude, who says to him, you've always been the caretaker.
So is exactly. So like is, like you said, is the Overlook like has absorbed Jack?
Yep.
And or then it kicks him out of Eden.
Is it some timeline
thing?
Is
it a reincarnation?
Is it a reincarnation? Has he woven like there's a spirit that imbues certain people?
Yep.
It's cool, fascinating.
It is actually fascinating. And that whole pull...
Didn't exist in King's book, by the way.
Didn't.
That thing at the end that he's in the photo is not there.
Really?
So this is a completely Kubrick
And that's
invention.
Why King doesn't like it, because it changes the ending of his book.
One of the many things King doesn't like about Kubrick's film. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you've got something that is so disagreed with by the author, yet it's considered great just because it's a great movie.
I think this is the one exception that I can think of. There is no something else in the back of my head is tweaking, but okay. The one exception I can think of right now,
yeah,
that the film adaptation is considered more highly than the novel.
The other one is Old Boy, isn't it?
Was that a novel?
It's a graphic novel.
Okay.
So but which did not have the ending with the door your daughter thing. So
there's something else as well, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Ah, very cool, very okay, cool.
That's my three.
Nice one. Well, my number two is The Friggin' Thing, so that's how high I put that.
Wow.
I told you, it hit me in the heart. And you know what? I know something about The Thing.
Shocked, man.
Yeah, in the beginning, where the soldiers are trying to chase the wolf and they're talking to each other in Norwegian.
It's not a wolf, it's a husky.
Sorry, a husky.
Sorry, yeah, Dave husky. From Super Mario Bros. Please don't hold that against
is
my
it
friend
husky?
Here.
I thought it was a wolf.
Yeah, no, that's a husky.
Okay, fair enough. They're saying in Norwegian, they're actually giving away the plot. Like, that thing is not a wolf. Or not a husky, yeah. I'm sorry.
Which is great.
Yeah, because if you spoke Norwegian, you'd know, but no one did, so no one knew. Well, very few people saw it.
Very few people did.
Right, so it's just cool.
That would suck, though. If you're an American who speaks Norwegian, you were born in Norway.
Yeah, you're like, hey, wait. Is this supposed to be a surprise? Yeah.
I knew what was happening all along. What the fuck's wrong with everyone?
I just love that people were doing Easter eggs back then, you know what I mean? Sort of.
My number two is... the one you flirted with earlier. It's from Pulp Fiction. It's what's in the briefcase.
What is in the briefcase that's glowing and
that Marcellus Wallace wants so much? What is so valuable that everyone stops and shits their pants when that briefcase is open?
And I know why this is high for you. No, yes, it's popular, but you don't know the answer because Tarantino said, you decide. Do you have a favorite, Paul? Do you have a favorite?
I love the idea. It's his soul.
His soul is the best idea. And that whole thing with the... There were band-aids on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
Supposedly, you take a soul from the back of the neck, where it's been found out that Marcellus Wallace actually had a scar there, and they just decided.
Yeah, of course, it's not that.
Yeah,
because otherwise, everyone has a scar on the back of their neck, lost their soul. Oh my god! No, fucking but like, Joseph Stalin had a band-aid on the back of his neck. What the fuck?
But it was coincidence. Like, you know, the people just made the morph. They morphed the legend to fit that.
It worked.
That's how bullshitty people are.
But but it's also how inventive people are.
Exactly. We want answers. We want to know.
Create, and it's fun. It's fun to extrapolate about this kind of stuff.
I heard a story that what was in the briefcase were the diamonds from Reservoir Dogs that they stole.
Isn't
that cool?
Super great. Would love that action.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Or you know, a 24-pack of Red Apple fucking cigarettes, which don't exist anymore.
Yes,
you know?
But why would it glow? See, that's why they said diamonds. Yeah.
Because it's value. I mean, initially it's meant to represent value.
Yeah.
And then it took on a life of its own. So,
and apparently the yellow light, putting the yellow light, it was an afterthought. So
great.
So great.
But it was the instant first thing I thought of, and it was going to be my number one, even though I put it up on Twitter as the image that went with the request for feedback, which we'll hear in the pop 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got supplanted by one which had to be on my list. So let's see then, Wayne. Do we have the same number one?
Of course we do! Because if we don't, I don't know what our friendship is about.
Well, in that case, I need to get the right sound clip up.
Should I give my 10 to 1 while you're doing that?
Yes, you should, sir.
Okay. My number 10 was the Fight Club Brad Pitt marquee thing. Number 9, The Matrix. How did Cypher go to The Matrix without anyone else? 8, who keyed Vincent's car? 7, what was Daniel Craig's name in Layer Cake? 6, Demolition Man. How do we make those three seashells wipe our asses? Number 5, the spider ending in... Oh, sorry, the ending in Enemy. There you go. We already spoiled it. Number 4, is Deckard a replicant? 3, American Psycho, what all happened with his ass? 2, The Thing, who is The Thing?
Mm-hmm.
And my number 1, do you want to give yours? Your
all right, I'll do my recap as well then. We'll see whether we've got the same. If we don't, dear God, there's something wrong with this world.
Exactly.
Blade Runner, what is Deckard a replicant at? Number 10, number 9, The Joker Origins from The Dark Knight. 8, Zodiac, David Fincher's film, who is the killer? 7, another David Fincher film. Gone Girl, like what happened to the Gone Girl? 6, Usual Suspects, who is Kaiser Soze? 5, who is the killer in Identity from James Mangold in 2003? The Thing, Who is the thing? Is there a thing? Plus what the other mysteries at number four. Number three, an absolute mind fuck of an ending to The Shining from Stanley Kubrick in 1980. Number two, Pulp Fiction. What is in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the briefcase?
Good enough. I just want to be able to do that. And Wayne, now here we go. Number one.
Number one is a mystery that Paul has been getting wrong for about 20 years. Are Arnie's Total Recall memories implanted or real? Is Total Recall real at the end? Okay, people.
100%.
Anyone
who's... And here's the funny thing,
please.
I made this list and I'm like... Da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like... What about Total... Oh my God.
Me too. This one is with a bullet right to number one. Okay, so everyone, Paul and I have been arguing about this for 20-ish years. Since high school. You'd know.
Probably since we first
Since 90 fucking too easily.
90
right?
was this
Since
film.
90, motherfucker. All right, so check it out. Total Recall. At the end, Arnie, having saved the universe or planet or whatever else, sees all this shit happen.
Arnie, Quaid.
Sorry, Quaid. You know, he sees a blue sky on Mars, this, that, whatever, and then the girl says,
Points for
me, motherfucker. The girl says, what if it's all a dream, right? And he says, no, so he says, what if it's all a dream? And she said, then you better kiss me quick before it's over. And then he does it, right? Now, Paul thinks it's fucking real. Paul thinks all of that happened, all right? Paul is wrong. It was all a dream, and I'll tell you when the dream started, okay?
God damn!
Here's what happened. He walks in to recall to get one of those implanted holidays in his head. As he lies down, one of the fucking techs who's about to prep him looks at the disc they're putting in and says, oh, blue sky on Mars, that's weird.
True.
Very next scene.
Coincidence, but true.
Bollocks. Very next scene, it's like, you blew my cover! He's in the fucking thing, he's fighting. What happened? I don't know if something went wrong with the fucking implant. What's going on? He then, you know, uses that to
what
skew us.
What is your major malfunction, num-num?
That, my friends, is when the dream starts. That is when the dream starts, and it goes all the way till the end of the movie, and you don't see him wake up. Paul thinks otherwise because for some reason the blue sky on Mars thing means nothing, even though there was a blue sky on Mars at the end of the movie or the memory,
I'll say two things which support my perspective of the film.
Let's go, motherfucker.
One, Paul Verhoeven said it's meant to be read both ways.
Yes, which
and
means
never
there's nothing
committed.
There.
Never committed because he's not really Scott and not a cunt.
He's doing that to fuck around with you. The movie tells you that it's a dream. The movie does.
How would you like
to
suck
my big hairy balls, bitch? Let's hear your second reason why you're wrong.
The other is the novelization by Piers Anthony.
Fuck! Famous, the novelization!
Famous sci-fi author. It says, he was done with dreaming. This is real life.
Even that can be taken to be from the character's point of view. And this is what he believes. Because he's dreaming, bitch!
You are a sad, strange
little man. It is so weird that Paul cannot relent here. It's obvious that I'm right. Guys, come back to me. What do you think? Total Recall was a dream, so Paul says it was real. For some reason.
Bitch, please,
mother. The movie's telling you. I don't know what... I mean, you know, the novelization was done after the movie, so maybe you can suck my dick twice.
You understand that it's based on the script.
Does it mean that anything, motherfucker?
Yeah, it does.
It's called artistic license, slut.
You know what you're thinking? No, there's no way they release a novelization
absolutely.
Doesn't reflect
they
the script.
They always fuck up, man. And check this out, right? He's like, all of your arguments are like my asshole, man. He's thinking the end of the movie is like going to be this great scene where the characters kiss. I can't end a book like that. I've got to end on a statement. So he makes some shit up, which, by the way, is still... Anyway, enough with this. That's the fun part of this show, people. This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here.
Bitch.
Bitch. I'm just making noise about it.
That is Alice. I don't think we need to get into honorable mentions.
Nah, fuck it. Who gives a shit?
Let's get straight into your contributions to the topic at hand. And segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the aforementioned Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast.
Gee!
What does he say to her at the end of Lost in Translation?
I know.
Such a beautiful movie.
It is a beautiful movie, and if you look online, you can tell they've isolated the sign and what he says, but it's better that you don't know. It's better that
you don't know. What does it say?
He said...
for those who want to know.
It was... Oh, look
in case.
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, here's what he said. He said, I have to be leaving, but I won't let that come between us, okay? And then she goes, and that's it. That's what he says. If you isolate the sign, which people have done online, that's what he actually says.
All right.
Well, it is a lovely thing to say, but it's better that you don't know.
There's the answer. I would agree. I think it's better. From Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Number three, What's in the Briefcase from Pulp Fiction. Number two, The End of the Thing. And number one, The End of Inception, which was on neither of our lists.
Yeah, I know. Because I think, I don't know, maybe it was played out. By the way, he was totally real because Michael Caine was in the scene and Christopher Nolan told Michael Caine, any scene you're in is reality. Okay. Also, you can see the fucking spinning top about to drop.
Oh, yeah. So if it keeps spinning, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I'm saying, yep. Yeah.
Shaken, not nerds, Judy Dutrum,
DD,
one of the good friends of the show, said, the mystery of why Reap hasn't been released yet. Fucking do it.
Nice one.
Very nice, Judy. Brad from The Cinema Guy said, the biggest movie mystery, will we ever get to see the Snyder Cut for Justice League?
Absolutely, and I really want to.
Mm. Movie reviews in 20 Qs. This is from Sam from that show, Good Friend. What happened to Denny after the film ended? Did Chris R. get him? The room.
Denny. Oh, the room. Oh, okay, of course.
Number two, how did the three seashells work? We've noticed that for you from Demolition Man. And is one of them the thing was his number one? LJ Human, Luke said, Lost in Translation, The Whisper. Two, Pulp Fiction, The Briefcase. Number one, Life of Pi, : The Bullshit Story.
The great thing about Life of Pi is the reality that he made it up to deal with the
loss that he has sustained. I would agree.
Three Pans Labyrinthy.
Jordy Davidson, top level patron of the show and man extraordinaire, said, from The Big Sleep from 1946, one of my favorite films of all time, who killed the chauffeur? Never answered the film, and reportedly William Faulkner has admitted he didn't even know and he co-wrote the thing.
What? That sounds cool.
It doesn't take away from the fact it's a fantastic film, but it is confusing, according to Geordie. Yep.
Interesting. Big Sleep. Got it.
Jonathan Kidd said, Clue the movie. I made my wife watch this with me at least once a year. It only gets better for me. Pulp Fiction, What's in the Damn Briefcase, and Captain Marvel. Who the fuck watched the dailies and thought Jude Law shouldn't have been fired?
Really? You didn't like him?
Apparently not.
Yeah, okay.
Brianna Petty said, Gone Girl, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is a great little horror film.
Really?
And Zodiac, Murder is Never Solved, which makes it better in my opinion.
One for you.
From the Was It Worth It X, what used to be called the Master Debaters Podcast.
Ah, Huffa.
Says, does Jaws count as a mystery? Because I just don't understand why people think it's good. Mystery to
Boom.
Me.
Boom. Paul's about to shit his pants, everyone. Let me just clean up.
Hot damn.
Come on, mate. I'm not even going to say any more than that.
That's just, fine.
You've befriended me so hardly. Josh Ragland said, Fight Club, who is Tyler Durden?
Oh, we know now.
Reservoir Dogs, who's the mole? I guess we know as an audience, but early it's a fun thing to watch and try to figure out. It's a character just trying to figure out, which is great.
Totes.
And Shaun of the Dead, can dogs really look up?
Is that in Shaun of the Dead?
It is totally Shaun. But dogs can look up.
You know what I think about way too often? How did Donkey and the Dragon in Shrek have babies?
You know me. I see a pair of thick...
The dragon ain't got no titties, yo!
And all logic flies out the window.
Ah, shit.
Spoiler Samani said, Empire Strikes Back. We obviously discover who Luke's daddy is, but who is the other that Yoda mentions to Obi-Wan when Luke flies away? We eventually get our answer.
Yeah,
later. At the end. Early on at Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, no, it was a good time.
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Just stories from an old befuddled man to entertain a child, or memories of the most exciting life ever led.
It's a fucking great movie visually.
And The Dark Knight Rises. Where the fuck was the Joker? Was he in Arkham Asylum? Not even a mention. This burns me still.
So, yeah. He was in Arkham, right? They caught him, right?
But where was he during the events of when everyone got let out from Arkham? And
oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right.
And that is it for this week's Pop 10. Thank you to everyone who gets back to us with their feedback on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. We're sorry we couldn't get through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it for episode 266. Wayne, how do listeners get in touch with us regarding their feedback or indeed?
Any shit at all.
Yes.
Well, you should Google us or you can give us an email at thecountdownpodcast at gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. We're also on Podbean where you can like and follow the show and indeed leave comments there as well as the Facebook listening community. Link is in the show notes. Join up there if you're a part of the page because you would have missed out if you weren't part of that page. The live streaming we did this week between Wayne and I having an hour and a half chat and answering all your questions.
And talking shit generally.
Shit will happen more and more frequently, or at least as frequently, if you get on board there.
That's
so
right.
There we are. That is it for today's episode. What's going to happen next week, Wayne, for episode 267 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews?
Next week, we're all about the dramedies. So that's comedy-drama. Drama-comedies.
Drama-comedy. I think drama first, right?
Sure, otherwise it's just a comedy, right? Because all comedies have drama. Okay,
I would agree.
Sure. All right.
Can be a drama first, but it's comedic. I'll get it out there eventually. Elements.
Right. Oh, God. Now I know what's on the top of my list. Just straight away. With a bullet. Fantastic.
I have no fucking idea. So there you are. Wayne knows Bo. I know nothing. And that is it for this week's episode of The Countdown. Thank you so much for joining us and your feedback on the show and indeed general support. Stay safe, stay healthy. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You insignificant little fuck.
It was quick. You wanted it quick.
Fine, okay.
We'll catch you next week.
See you, kids.